What is it? Tav Shanayin Gimel, right? Okay, Parshas Vayelech. Are we in Tav Shanayin Gimel? Yes. Okay, this Parsha, it's just unbelievable. The timing, the relevance. Everyone must go through the Parsha. You must. You must do it every week, but you must go through the Parsha this week. And the best Chumash that I've mentioned before that I love, the best Chumash that you could use to go pasuk by pasuk with the most interesting commentaries is Rav Eli Monk, The Call of the Torah. It's a six-volume set because there's two umbrageous. It's an expensive set, but it's my, you know, my opinion is that that's only my opinion, that it's the best anthology of the Parsha. So, so in any case, we have to go through it pasuk by pasuk. We can't do that here today, but you will do it. But we're going to work with a couple of basic questions. And what we're going to keep in mind is reading this pasuk, this parsha, after Yom Kippur, before Sukkot, the day after our enemy of all enemies, the fool who will get nowhere, Mirtz Hashem, nowhere with all his plans, speaks on Yom Kippur. This is what the parsha is talking about. The speech itself, the parsha tells us, is Ma'orer the Rachmanis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It arouses the Rachmanis of Hashem. And this gives us encouragement. This parsha is the last words of Moshe. In this parsha, Hashem tells Moshe to go up on the mountain that Miriam and Aharon had died on, and to die there. That's this parsha. It's over. This is the last words. And these are words of tremendous encouragement, even greater than the encouragement of the previous parshas. The previous parshas contain tochacha, rebuke, and then the promise that we'll do tshuva, and then the promise that Hashem will save us. But this parsha goes even beyond that. Even beyond that. In order to understand to the degree where it goes to, we have to look at the parsha, get its main theme, and then ask some very simple questions. The first simple question we're going to ask is, after we understand the theme of this parsha, why is it called a shira, a song? When we understand the theme and why it's called the Shira, we'll understand how this parsha goes way beyond even the previous parsha. It's that guarantee tshuva and guarantee Yeshua for Klal Yisrael. Okay? So in order to understand, oh, and let me mention, give credit where credit is due, Ha'omer Davar B'Shem Amro. This is such a beautiful, interpretation and explanation of the parsha. It's Rav Ezra Bick from Eretz Yisrael. This is an old piece from 2001. He's from Yeshivat Har Etzion. Really beautiful. Had in my notes for so long, in my file, you know, each parsha has a file, but we've never done this, because we're never really here, Parsha says, you know, that's why. It's really something special. Anyway, I don't know who he is. Anybody know him? Of Ezra Bick from Har Etzion? Bick.
Yes.
Yes? Okay, you'll tell me about him afterwards. Okay.
So,
this is beautiful. Just beautiful. So, okay, so here's how he starts. We're going to follow his structure. We're going to add a little bit to it. In order to understand the theme of the Parsha, we have to look into the end of Vayelech, because the end of Vayelech is where Moshe is told by Hashem to write this Shira, which is Hazinu. Okay? So turn to Vayelech, and we're going to start on Pasuk 15. That's on page 1096. Okay? Now, you know that all the words, all the speeches of Moshe in Parshas in Sefer Devarim are Moshe's own speeches. But they're so perfect and so true that they merit to be included in Chamisha Chumshei Torah. They merit to be considered the words of God, but via Moshe. However, it's clear that these psukim tell us that Hazinu is not Moshe's own concoction. Okay, he did not invent or think of or come up with the ideas of Hazinu. They were dictated to him by Hashem. So look in 15. V'yomer Hashem Moshe, Hein karvu yamecha lamus. Okay, you're all following in English, so I'm not going to translate. Kara es Yehoshua v'syatzvu ba'ol moed v'atzavenu v'yelech Moshe v'yeshua v'yisyatzvu ba'ol moed. V'yera Hashem ba'ol ba'amod anon v'yamod amod ha'anon al pesach ha'ohel. Whenever it says that Hashem appeared to Moshe in a pillar of cloud, it is a form of high-level prophecy, okay, which appears or described as a cloud in our language, but it's an abstract concept of an experience, of a prophetic experience. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Hincha shochev im avosecha, you are going to go die now and sleep with your fathers. V'kam ha'am hazeh, Moshe, so Hashem is talking to Moshe here. This nation is going to get up. Vazana v'acharei Elohei Nechar ha'aretz asher hu bashama v'kirbo. They are, you're going to die, and they are going to start straying after other gods. V'azavani, they're going to leave me. V'hefer esbrisi, they're going to violate my bris. Asher karati ito, that I cut with them, that I established with them. V'chara apibo v'yom hahu, and on that day, we're talking about the future, I will be angry. V'yazavt him, and I'm going to abandon them. V'histarti panai mehem, and I'm going to turn my face away, and it'll be concealed from them. V'hayolechol, and it's going to be that they will be consumed. U'mitza'uhu ra'os rabos v'tzaros, and many terrible things and tzaros are going to befall them. V'amar b'yom hahu, and on that day they will say, Hello, Alki Ein Elokai Bekirbi Matsuuni Haraos Eila. Is it not that it's that God is not with me is the reason for all of this evil that has befallen me? And the question here is, who are they blaming? Are they blaming themselves here, or are they blaming Hashem? You can interpret this pasuk two ways. Is it not that Hashem is not with me, that all these terrible things have befallen me? In other words, you know, the fact is that these things have befallen me because Hashem is not with me. But whose fault is that? That's the implied question. So look what Hashem says. V'anochi haster aster panai b'yom hahu. And on that day, in the future, this is for the future, my face will be concealed. I'll call hara asher asa, ki pana el Elohim acherim, because they turn to other gods. So what should we do in that case? So what should we do? Because this is inevitability, right? So what should we do? Va'ata, so now, for the future. Kisvu lachem es hashira hazos. Write for yourself this shira. V'lamda es b'nei Yisrael. And teach it to them. Sima b'pihem. And put it in their mouth so it's on the tip of their tongues. Now, what is a shira? We don't yet know what the shira is about. But Hashem is saying, because they're going to leave me and I'm going to be concealed. And then they're going to say, yeah, that's why all this happened, because Hashem is concealed. And whose fault is it? So he says, so write this shira, it's going to be a song, and put it, make it something that is on the tip of their tongues. Laman tihye, and Hashem explains it perfectly right here. Can't get clearer. Laman tihye li hashira hazos le'ed le'bnei Yisrael. This shira for be a witness for me to B'nai Yisrael. This shira that you will be able to say in the future, after all these terrible things happened, and you question, why did this all happen? Whose fault is it? Then this shira is going to be testimony on my behalf. So what do you think the shira is going to say? I didn't abandon you. You abandoned me. That's what the shira is going to say. The shira is going to be an edus on behalf of Hashem that he wasn't the one that abandoned Klal Yisrael. And that's what the shira is going to be about. But in that is a tremendous nechama and the greatest promise of all the promises. So look, it says, Laman tia li hashira hazos la'ed b'b'neshol. This shira is going to testify on my behalf, b'neshol. Ki aviyene el hadama, I'm going to bring them to the land, asher nishbati lavos of zavaschol v'devash, right? I'm going to read in Hebrew now, because you're all following, yeah? Okay. V'achol v'sava v'doshen upana el elokim acherim v'avadam v'niyatsuni v'hefir esprisi. Vayaki tim se'ena oso ros rabos v'tzoros v'ansa hashira hazos lefanav le'ed ki lo tishkach mipizaro. In other words, when all these terrible things happen to you, this shira will speak on my behalf. Ansa hashira hazos lefanav le'ed. This shira is going to be a witness. Ki lo tishkach mipizaro ki adati es yitzro asher hu osa hayom b'terem avienu el arz asher nishbati. In other words, Hashem is saying, I know their yitzer. I know what is inevitable. Before I even bring them into the land, I know what's going to be. So this shira is going to be, I know it. I can establish it. It's going to testify on my behalf from up front. This is like refuah in a certain way before the makkah, because we're going to see that the shira is really refuah. V'yichtov Moshe hashira hazos b'yom ha'u. So Moshe wrote it. Moshe did not create the shira. That's obvious, right, from these psukim? Hashem wrote this whole shira because it's important for the future of what needs to be said at the end of days that's already prepared in the mouth of B'nai Israel to say. So Moshe wrote the shira by Yomahu, v'yelamdaha es B'nai Yisrael, and he taught it B'nai Yisrael. And he told Yoshua, Chazak v'amatz, you're going to bring them into the land. And Moshe finished writing Divrei HaTorah Hazos al Sefer Atumam, everything. And then he told him, put it next to the Aron, put it in this Mitzat HaAron, and he gathered everybody, and he said, I am going to now take the heavens and earth, and Pasuk Chav Ches, as witness. Okay, and that is the introduction to Parshas Hazino. So now, question number one is, who wrote it? This is Hashem's song. Number two, what's it for? It's for the future. But it's in escrow till the future. And we need to always have it at the tips of our tongues to burst out with it in the future. Now, if you look at Hazino, we'll try to just pick out the theme of the Parsha and ask the next question. So this song that's already prepared and waiting in escrow to be expressed in the future, because Hashem is telling us this is going to come in the end of days, it's going to be necessary to sing this song. Okay, we have to just also figure out what is the difference between a song and just, you know, speech. Why is this called a song? We have to look at the essence of Hazinu to ask the question, to really understand that question. It doesn't sound like a song because you would expect it to be a song. Look, what did Hashem just say so far? He said, you're going to stray and you're going to abandon me. I'm going to hide my face and terrible things are going to happen. And when that all comes to pass, you're going to have this song at the end to sing. So what does this song sound like? It sounds like it should be a song of salvation at some point, which hasn't yet been told to us. But the thing about songs is that songs, as we know from Shiras Hayam, we know from Shiras Devora, Shiras Chana, all the Shiros are spontaneous eruptions of astonishment, gratitude, overwhelming appreciation of Hashem because there's a nace at the moment. But Hazinu doesn't seem to fit into that because it's like reiterating what the whole process of Jewish history, you're going to go into the land and you're going to stray and you start to sin and you're going to get angry, then you're going to be punished. Like this has already been told in the Tochachas. Where is the, and at the end there'll be this spontaneous eruption. So if you look at Hazinu, just to establish that yes, as they try to teach this. My daughter in TAG was taught it by heart. Not sure she did it, but they tried to do it by heart. Yes, this is, yes. It's in the yeshivas, they make the kids learn this by heart. In the girls' yeshivas, I don't know, but not the boys. Yeah. No, this, Hazinu. Okay, look at this. Let's turn into Hazinu. Moshe is now taking, on behalf of Hashem, this is Hashem speaking here, right? Shemayim, page 1100. Heaven and earth be your witness. And you have to read this. You must read this, Shira. And let my words fall like the dew. Kishem Hashem ekor havo godel okenu. Hatzur tamim pa'alo. Ki kol derach of mishpat Hashem is perfect. There is no injustice with him. Iniquity, he is righteous. Corruption is not his. The blemish is his children's, a perverse and twisted generation. Okay, remember what we said? Hashem said this is going to be Eidos. Whose fault is it that Hashem isn't with us? This is the song. Hashem, Moshe says, Hatsur tamim pa'olo. The rock, his work is perfect. Kol derachav mishpat, all his paths are just. Kelemuna, trustworthy. V'ein avel, there is no iniquity. Tzadik v'yasharhu, he's a tzadik, he's righteous and straight. Shiches lo, is corruption his? It's a question. Shiches lo, no. Is his the source of the corruption? Lo, no. Banav mumam, the blemish is his children's. Dar ikesh upisaltol, it's a perverse and twisted, like psil, like tzitzis, twisted generation. Hala Hashem tigmozos. Is it to Hashem that now he makes Moshe here appealing to Bnei Yisrael's not intellect but emotions here? Hello, la Hashem tigmaluzos. Hello, la Hashem tigmaluzos. Is it to Hashem that you did this? To Hashem, yud kevavke. Am novel v'lo chacham. You novel is like, you know, vile and unwise people. Hello, hu avicha. Is he not your father? Konecha, the one who created you and owns you, who ascha, he made you, v'yachonenecha, and he established you. In other words, Moshe is saying here, Hashem is saying on behalf of Hashem, this is Eidos. I am righteous. How could you do this to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? This is not Hashem's fault. This is your fault. Okay, that's the, it's like at the last words of the Torah is blame. Let's go further. Then Moshe says, remember, the next number of psukim are, remember how Hashem gathered you in the desert. He encircled you and protected you. He preserved you like the pupil of his eye. He hovered over you. And he guided you. There was no power other than Hashem over you. He made you ride on the heights of the land. He took you to the highest places. He gave you everything. But what happened? Pasuk 15. But you got fat. V'yishman yishur and v'yivad. And you started kicking. You became thick. You deserted Hashem. And then he goes into all the troubles that happened. Okay, you provoked his jealousy. Look in the English. You angered him with abominations. You ignored Hashem. He was provoked. And he said, I will hide my face from him. Vayomer Pasuk 20. Vayomer Astira Panai Mehem. I'm going to hide my face for them. And I'm going to see what will be with them. They provoked me, he said, with a non-God. And I will provoke them with a non-people, which is very interesting, by the way. Because our enemies, the so-called Palestinians, well, they're not a nation, and they never were an identifiable nation. But in any case, Hashem was angry, so to speak, and he used his, so to speak, his arrows against them and brought all kinds of tzaras on them. Okay, these psukim, well, this sounds like the tochacha. This sounds like the tochacha. But then it shifts. Look at Pasuk 27. This is where Hashem explains. So first of all, Moshe says on behalf of Hashem, this is not Hashem's fault. This is your fault. Then he goes into the history. Hashem carried you and protected you and guided you and trained you, and then you became fat. You became complacent. You became ungrateful. And then you started angering Hashem with straying after other gods and following in their ways. And then Hashem began to punish you, and all kinds of terrible suffering came upon you. Now here's where it shifts. He says, Pasuk 27, were it not... Lule Kaas Oyev, it were it not for the anger, the fury, the hatred of the enemy that was pent up, to allow him to misinterpret and say, Yadeinu Rama, below Hashem Pa'al Kolzos, it's our hands are powerful, we have the power. It's not God who's allowing us to torment Klal Yisrael, we, there's no God here. And if there is a God, we've outsmarted him. We are going to destroy Klal Yisrael. God is helpless, or God has abandoned them, or God is not watching them, or we're once and for all going to go against the will of God and destroy these people. We will replace God as the deciders of what happens to Klal Yisrael. That's what in other words, the Pasuk is saying here, they were so angry and so furious, our enemies, that they interpreted this. They interpreted it this way. Otherwise, they would have seen the truth. Here's the truth in the next Pasuk. And first we're introduced, Kigai Ovad Eitzus Hema, because they are a nation bereft of a proper Eitzah, proper understanding. Ein Behem Tevuna, they have no discernment, they have no insight. Rav Nechemya holds, this verse applies to Israel's enemies. They are bereft of counsel. They have abandoned the seven basic mitzvahs b'nei Noach, and therefore there's no discernment, there's no bina, there is no intellect in them, there's no truth in them. For although they are now victorious over Israel, they do not recognize that when the future redemption comes, they will suffer utter defeat. Because Hashem says to them, a simple calculation. You're all so foolish. Eicha yirdof echad elef, ushnaim yanisu revava. How do you think it's possible that one can pursue 1,000 and two can cause a myriad to flee? You think that's normal? He's telling the Goyim. You really think this is all normal, that you have this koach? That you have all this power of a klal Yisrael, so that one of you can chase 1,000? Of course not. He says, it's not, it's simply, imlo kitzura machram, it's that their rock, right? Their security. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has sold them out for the moment. V'Hashem hisgiram. It's Hashem that has delivered them to you. In other words, if you weren't so full of hatred and haughtiness, you would see that even the punishments of Klal Yisrael come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not natural to have this kind of ability and power to pull off this kind of thing. So then Hashem goes to say, Pasuk 35, Hashem says, Li nakam v'shile, mine is nakam, and we've learned here what nakam is, and retribution. At the time when their foot will falter, for their day of catastrophe is near, and future events are rushing at them. And now comes the nakam of all nakamas. Ki yadin Hashem amo, when Hashem will have applied din to his nation. Bial avodav yesnacham, and then he shall relent regarding his servants. Ki yire ki azlas yad, he sees that the enemy's power is progressing. Ve'efes atzur v'azav, and none is saved or assisted. Then, at that last moment, when Hashem himself will have brought justice, he will start to relent. When he sees the power of the enemies, to what degree is this power going to be manifest? That the enemy himself will say, Va'amar, E Elohemo, where is their God? Tzor Chasubo, the rock that they sought refuge in. When it gets to a point that the enemies feel so secure that Hashem has abandoned Klal Yisrael, because Hashem has brought the din on Klal Yisrael, that's when Hashem will relent. This is telling us that Hashem is not going to relent and shift, as we're going to see in a minute, and bring great retribution upon the enemies because of tshuva. Hashem is not going to relent because Klal Yisrael have been broken to the point that they turn back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know what's going to drive Hashem's rachmanas and turn everything and guarantee Hashem to shift and save Klal Yisrael and finally bring the Kam on the Goyim? The very din that Hashem brings on Klal Yisrael. When he sees Klal Yisrael suffering from their own mistakes, which brought upon their own difficulties, that, like a good parent, will be ma'orer the rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what's going to cause him to change everything. Not because Klal Yisrael do tshuva, but because we suffer from our own mistakes, and a parent sees their child making mistakes and then living to regret them and to suffer because of them. That itself is the source of the parent moving back in to come and release the child from this, you know, trap that they've put themselves into. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when Hashem will have judged his people, when we've suffered enough, he will relent. When Hashem judges people, he will relent. It has nothing to do with us. In the end, there's a guarantee for the Yeshua, even without tshuva. Even beyond tshuva. This is where it goes beyond the tochacha. This is why it's a shira. Because other than that, everything up until now is common knowledge. We've been through this already. You're going to come to the land, you're going to sin, you're going to stray, the punishments will come upon you. This is just a recounting of history. This is just like the tochacha we read in Kisavo. But shira, unlike general ideas, general prose explains eternal truths, realities, but shira is spontaneous. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised us before this ever happened that in the end, when it all plays itself out, it will become evident through, and we will know it through our own experience, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been with us the whole time. And the very fact that he's allowed us to endure these sufferings is what is changing Hashem, so to speak, shifting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shifting all of history. And that we will experience. We'll see that it came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the Yeshuas will be keherifying. They'll be beyond our capacity to control. They won't be because of our efforts. They'll come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Hashem is done with our suffering. He's had it with our suffering. And when that is experienced, it's not anymore just a timeless truth, prose, ideas, realities that Moshe warns them about. It becomes a spontaneous outpouring of a truth that Hashem promised already existed, but we had to actually live through and experience to become aware of. And then Hashem says at the end, Pasuk Lamites, Re'u Ata, now, this now is going to be at the end of days, Ki Ani Anihu Ve'ein Elokim Imadi, Ani Amis Ve'echya. And here it says, Machatzti Va'ani Erpa. These words should definitely be remembered. Machatzti Va'ani Erpa. Machatzti means I struck down and I will heal. However, the word Machatzti has an implication. The word machatzti means, the Medrash in Kohelis, is could be written like mechitzasi, the barrier, the mechitza, between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem established it. It's the Eitz Hara. It's our confusion. It's our mistakes that lead us to turn to other forces for salvation, so to speak, to put our efforts in other directions. Mechitzasi, but Hashem says, it's my mechitza, I made it, it's the Yetzirah. And we've spoken about this a lot here, because of our separation, because of Hashem's concealment, because of our need to be individuals, right, that's the mechitza, that's the uterus, so to speak, surrounding the fetus, right? You know what I'm talking about? Hashem made that. Hashem says, mechitzasi v'ani erpa. That's why it's beyond tshuva. I established it. And there, because of that machita, there's going to be mistakes. But there has to be that possibility, or you're not individuals and you don't have bechira. But when the mistakes become too great, and I bring all the yisurim on you, only to bring you back. Remember we said about onesh, nash, to pulled away in order to be returned. That's the shorish of the word onesh, the word nash. Like menashe, enosh, gidhanasha, we mentioned this in the past. Then Hashem says, at that point, the enemies who were so mistaken because of their haughtiness, because they abandoned the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, therefore they're guilty. Therefore they have no wisdom. Therefore they know Yerushalayim. There, and that's their fault. And therefore they believe this is their doing. And Hashem laughs at them. Can one chase a thousand? You think you did this? This is not natural. This comes from me. And when I'm sick and tired of the enemies who are worse than Klal Yisrael, bringing the oppression of upon Klal Yisrael, that alone is going to be the source of the redemption. And Hashem guarantees that that day will come, because He made the mechitza that started this whole thing, and He will heal it. So He's given us a long history to try to on our own create an awareness of Hashem in this world, to advance the world. And you know what? You, the Jewish people, and the better elements of humanity have succeeded. Look where we are today compared to thousands of years ago. Look at the way, in general, that the science has developed in physics and medicine. And there are more people on Earth now than there ever was in history. Tons more people on Earth. The more people are surviving, and more people are living, and more people are seeking, and more people are trying to do meaningful things with their lives. The world has progressed. There's also the danger looming. But the humanity has done good with our independence, with our individuality. It has done not just mistakes, we've achieved a lot. And at a certain point, Hashem says, that's it. The Ein Miyadi Matzil, when I decide to heal, no one can be rescued from my hands. And he says, Hashem says, I raise my hand, Ki Esa El Shamayim Yadi. I raise my own hand to heaven and I say, Chai Anochi La'olam, I endure forever. And then Hashem starts talking about Nekama, which we've already spoken about, and how it will be poured out upon the Goyim, in the nations that have been bad to us, not all the nations. And this blood of His servants will be avenged, and everyone will have a Nekama. And Moshe spoke these words, this song, in the ears of the people. So what we have here is Hashem prepared this song. Hashem told Moshe to teach it to us. We should know it Baal Peh, it is true. Hashem already told us what will be. And in the end, when we experience this, not have learned it by warnings and threats and speeches that Moshe had made until now. This is a shira. This will spontaneously erupt from Klal Yisrael when we see it happen. And when we have come to that place where we're out of experience, not out of just theory, we have lived these things and we see this, the whole story come, you know, full circle. Then the Shira will be waiting for us to say. So what we have to focus on here is a few specific elements of this Shira. First of all, it's an interesting thing. First of all, Pasukim 4. Go back to the beginning of the parsha. Let's look at the details of this. Hazina Hashemayim v'adaber v'tishma aretz imrei pi. Shemayim and aretz are called as witnesses to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were watching the whole time as history is unfolding. And Hashem takes them as a witness. Now, interesting here, there are, from this verse, okay, the second verse, Yarof Kamatar Likri, let may my teachings drop like rain. Tizal Katol Imrasi, let my utterances flow like the dew, which now we know rain comes from the heavens and dew is generated from down here. From the beginning of this pasuk, Yarof Kamatar Likri, to the end of the song, there are 42 psukim, corresponding to the 42 letters in the great name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, Hashem's signature is on this song. And that is why in the next pasuk, Moshe says, Kishem Hashem Ekra Havogodel Lelokeinu. Moshe says, this song is 42 pasukim, like the 42 letter name of Hashem. This is a testimony to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is Hashem's signature. This is how Hashem is ending history. He's guaranteeing this. We learned from here, by the way, this is the pasuk that serves as the halachic basis to make a bracha before learning Torah, and Chazal derived that you also have to make a bracha after learning Torah. You do like we do when we call people up for an aliyah. Kishem Hashem Ekra, when I call out in the name of Hashem, Havugodel Lelokeinu, I bring greatness to Hashem. Kishem Hashem Ekra, calling out in the name of Hashem means learning Torah. It's a form also of tefillah. Learning Torah is also a form of tefillah. Kishem Hashem Ekra is a way of calling Hashem. When we learn Torah, we thirst for it. It's almost like we, just like tefillah is asking for something we need, when a human being's neshama is searching for some type of MS and some type of meaning, we're hungry. We're asking, really, to be able to learn Torah. So the brachos, it's a form of tefillah. Kishem Hashem Ekra, when I call out to Hashem. Havu Gozel, can I expand his name, bring more greatness to his name. This is the bracha, this is the source for Birchas HaTorah. We don't know it, but it's always referred to as the 42-letter name. Hashem has a 42-letter name, the great name, the Shem HaMeforash. These psukim here, Moshe says here, Hatzur Tamim Pa'alo. Now, there are two points here to mention. Hashem, his work is perfect, he's just, he's kelamuna, trustworthy, there is no iniquity, tzaddik v'yashar. Two things here. Number one, and let's do another pasuk. Shiches lo is the destruction because of him. Lo, no. Bani mumam, the mum, the blemishes with the children. Dor ikesh upesaldel, this is a corrupted generation. Hala Hashem tigmozos, this is what you did to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That awareness, Moshe, in a sense, is like making them feel guilty. He's not appealing to their intellect. You know, these are the bris that Hashem made with you and you violated it. He's saying, to Hashem you did this? This is how it ends. It comes down to just a parent-child relationship of father-son, mother-daughter, or husband-wife. This is what you did to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that awareness is going to dawn on humanity. And you want to know who's a shaliach to bring this awareness to us? It's an amazing thing. Elie Wiesel. For years and years after the Holocaust, he wrote articles, and he was putting God on trial. By the way, he thought he had a precedent. Avraham argued about Sodom. Moshe argued about by the snare. He said, Lama hari osalam, why have you been so bad to this nation from the time you sent me? They haven't been saved. It's only gotten worse, right? But my grandfather, and we've taught this many times, points out that you have to be very, very, very careful. The only time you see somebody in the Torah actually demanding to know Hashem's ways and putting Hashem, so to speak, saying, you haven't done right. How could, Avram says, how could you destroy Tzadikim and Rishayim? Explain yourself. The only time you see people doing that is when prior to that, it says in the Pasuk, Hashem says, I will come down to see. So by Sodom it says, I will come down, Ve'ered. I'm going to come down. By the Sneh, Hashem said to Moshe, Ve'ered Lahatzil, I'm going to come down. My grandfather points out that Ered, Hashem doesn't move, obviously. He's not a solid or a liquid or a gas or something. That Ered means I will come down into the limited comprehension of the human mind for this instance only, because I want you to know what I'm doing. And after the whole story with Sodom, it says, Vayal Hashem. Hashem went up. And then it says, Vayashav Avraham Limkomo. And Avraham went back to his regular place of not questioning Hashem, which explains why Avram didn't say a word by the Akedah. Because it never said, Vayered, that I'm going to come down, or Ve'ered, never. So he was wrong. You can't put God on trial. Those are specific instances where Hashem allowed humanity to understand his ways. But if it doesn't say, I will come down, Hashem doesn't want us to understand. So about 10, maybe 12 years ago, I don't remember anymore, Elie Wiesel published a op-ed piece in the New York Times. And he retracted. And he said, I almost accused God and said, how could you do this to your people? But now I see it differently. He said, how could humanity do this to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to God? How could we have done this to our God? That's exactly what this Shira is saying. Halashem tigmoluzos, you did this to Hashem. Halahu avicha, he's your father, konecha, everything he did for you. Hu ascha v'yechonecha, he established you. Remember what happened. Zohar, go back and look at our history. He's making them feel bad. It's an emotional regret that we did this to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The other thing too, and that's an accomplishment. That's what humanity gets to. It's our fault. We accept it. How could we have done this? And when Hashem sees us coming to that point, he's fed up with the power, the limited power that the nations have been given temporarily, which are so foolish that they can't see that it's from Hashem. You know who saw it? Nebuchadnezzar. The Midrashim are full of stories of the first Nebuchadnezzar from Babel who didn't want to destroy the Beis Hamikdash. He said, no, I'm not being the Shaliach. I'm not the one who's going to be, because Hashem is angry at Klal Yisrael, do this. I don't want to be involved. And Hashem, and he shot arrows in every direction, the Midrash says, and they all flew towards Yerushalayim. This was someone who understood that this was not his own doing. And that gullus is a short gullus, but this is a long one, and it comes from a different force. And this is, the Goyim are foolish. They think they can do this because it's theirs. And Hashem, and Moshe is telling us that will come to an end too. There's also a very fundamental thing to understand here. When Moshe says, because there could be a mistake that we make with after reading this. When Moshe says, Hatzur tamim pa'alo, the rock, his work is perfect. The rock is your anchor, right? What you hold on to, it's always there. All his ways are just. He's trustworthy. There is no iniquity, nothing wrong, nothing. Tzadik v'yasharhu. This could lead us, like the friends of Eov, to make a critical mistake. The friends of Eov are criticized by HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the end of the whole Sefer. And Hashem says to them the following. Eov is suffering, unbearable sufferings, whether Eov's a mashal for Klal Yisrael or he really existed. Either way, he's a lesson. Eov is suffering. And you are looking with your mind to come to terms with it. Because it's very hard to experience, watch someone else suffer, see the suffering, and not know what, not have a mahalach, not have a way of dealing with it. So you are going to come up with a way of thinking about it. We're stopping here for a second. All our Torah we're learning today is Refuah Shleimah for Avram Ben Tova and Yehuda Ben Yente Gittel and Adina Bas Chana and all the other Cholim. So what did Eov's friend say? Eov's friend said, Hatzor Tamim Paolo, Hashem is perfect. There's nothing wrong. He's completely just. So by definition, you are guilty. You search your soul. You might not find your sin outwardly. It's deep inside, like we said in Yom Kippur, hidden. It's there for sure. And Eov kept saying, no, I'm innocent. I'm innocent. I'm innocent. And they said, it's not possible because Hashem is perfect and you are suffering. So therefore, you must be guilty. So at the end of the Sefer, Hashem says to Eov, he doesn't speak to the friends, but he says, their mistake was two things. Because they felt that it was their job to defend me and explain my ways, they blamed you, and you are innocent. They had no right to blame an innocent person. In other words, we have to live with two things that we cannot make peace between. That we don't understand the ways of Hashem, although he's just, and we don't know why people suffer. And not to put the two together. Not to say you're guilty because Hashem is perfect. That's a very hard thing to do. But that's the story of Eov. Eov isn't guilty, and yet he's suffering. And Hashem's ways are perfect. Now, how do you put the two together? That's why we never say, this happened because you sinned. Now, we're supposed to do that with ourselves. But we're not allowed to do that with other people. That's what Hashem tells Eov. With ourselves, we're supposed to always look in our actions and say, why is this happening to me? And try to be... But we're not Nevi'im, and these friends of Eov tried to do that. In the end, we talked about this before, but this is critical to just remember. What does Hashem do for Eov? He does not ever explain to him why he's suffering. But what he does do is he gives him a grand tour, so to speak, of the universe. Probably all the laws of physics, how the whole thing got here, the entire Bria. Probably mystical revelation of the Masa Merkava, of what, how Hashem is running the world on a Ruchnius level, all the reasons for everything. Eov saw the whole thing. He saw all the puzzle pieces come together. And Eov says at the end, just having that revelation was worth all my suffering, because now I know I'm in good hands. Now I know everything is perfect. I don't need to know why this particular suffering came upon me, but I'm secure and I have nechama in the fact that I'm in good hands, and whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu does makes sense and is part of the picture. He got the whole thing except his own suffering. That he was not revealed to him. But he knew that he could take it because it came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he saw the whole layout and how every little thing is necessary and has a tachlis and is good. That was Eov's Nechama. It's a very important concept that we're in good hands. So here, that's the only, to be careful when we say Hashem is perfect, that doesn't mean we have a right to assume that someone else is suffering because of guilt. It's a very hard thing. Psukim Chav, there's so many beautiful things here. For example, Moshe, the Medrash explains that Moshe wanted to have his name appear in this poem, and that this large hay in Pasuk Vav is the end of that acrostic. If you start at the beginning of Hazinu and take the first letter of every Pasuk and add up the gematria, hay is 5, yud is 10, chaf is 20, hay is 5, shin is 300, and hay, you get 345. It's the numerical value of the name Moshe. So Kadosh Baruch Hu's name is in here, and Moshe's name is in here. Also, interestingly enough, the Zohar says that the hay is always the way a feminine noun ends, right? And the hay is therefore related to the feminine, which is the Shechina, which is a feminine word. The Shechina is a feminine construct. That the word Zos in that pasuk, Hala Hashem Tigmalu Zos. Did to Hashem have you done this? You did this to Hashem. He's saying that this is a reference to the Shekhinah. You provoke the Shekhinah to depart. The Shekhinah is gone, and the Shekhinah is always feminine. Anytime we talk about Hashem is close to us, like Makom or the Shekhinah, Hashem is that's feminine, and that it's we caused Hashem to depart. When he says Zechor Yemos Olam, just go back and look at history. History is an entire progression. History has to be understood from a perspective that it's an ongoing process that takes place in history. And like we always speak about here, in individuals, that will bring Klal Yisrael to their ultimate goal. And the book that speaks about this, this new book, this masterpiece, Read It Over Yontif, is The Choice to Be by Jeremy Kagan. It explains history as an ongoing progression of bringing Klal Yisrael in a most... You know, it's an interesting approach to this point, which is discussed in Hazinu. And if you go further and turn to Psukim Chav Zayin, okay, that we spoke about before, that Chav Zayin, when Hashem says, if not for their arrogance, wouldn't they have realized that it doesn't happen by accident that one of you can chase a thousand? You know, if they were wise, they would comprehend this, right? So he says that, but Hashem says, but, you know, they're rushing down that road, which will bring to their own destruction. And Pasuk Lamed Hey says, Li Nakam Vashilem, to me alone is Nakama. And we've spoken about the idea of Nakama that Kadosh Baruch Hu brings from those... Rishayim, from those enemies, right? Remember this idea, a critical idea of my spirit talks about? It's the nekama is not, you hurt me, I'll hurt you. It's not vengeance. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes those enemies who are guilty because they abandon the Shevet Mitzvot B'nei Noach, and therefore they don't know Hashem, they don't know their obligations. And therefore they are guilty. And then because of them, they try to uproot and destroy and undermine the progress of Klal Yisrael and Hashem's plan. But their very efforts are going to promote Klal Yisrael, and they will spend their eternity. Their Gehenim will be that they will be the ones who repudiate themselves and spend forever saying, I brought Mashiach to Klal Yisrael. I sent them back to Eretz Yisrael. I made them do tshuva. I made sure there was a ge'ula. It all came from me. That's their Gehenim. That's the nekama. The nekama is that Hashem uses them exactly against their interests for His purposes, and they have to repudiate themselves forever. And there's a reference to Tchiyas HaMesim here. It's never explicitly stated in Torah, but in Perek Lamed Tes, Ani Amis Ve'achaye. It's clear enough. It could mean I just cause death and I cause life, but this is a reference to Tchiyas HaMesim. Machatzti, we spoke about, I created the machitza, and I will heal it. And then when Hashem says, I will lift my hand to Shemayim, Pasuk 40, Ki esa el Shemayim yadi, I lift my hand and I make an oath. This is the oath that guarantees redemption. And as we said, beyond tshuva, because Hashem has rachmanis on our suffering that we brought upon ourselves, which He brought upon us because He made the mechitza, because He made the Yetzihara. So Hashem has to save us regardless. There has to be Yeshua. And here is something which relates directly in the secret of Kol Nidre. Think about it. It's just a technical, you know, kind of like proclamation. Like if I made a swear, a neder, any type of isser, it's null and void. It's just a legality. Why is it so big? And by the way, the Kol Nidre tune, which everybody across the whole world sings, is historically considered like a Gregorian chant, but the Gregorian chants come from the Beis HaMikdash. This is a classical piece that all of Klal Yisrael, that tune, that unbelievable tune, but the words, Kol Nidre, and here is the secret to Kol Nidre. And this sometimes is very Yom Kippur dict, because it says, the Sifri explains, that when Hashem raises His hand and guarantees messianic deliverance of Klal Yisrael, why does He have to swear it? Why does He have to raise His hand and make an oath? Because Hashem took an oath. In Tehillim, we learn this in chapter 106. It says in Tehillim, He raised His hand to them, swearing that He would cast them down in the wilderness. Remember that? Can Hashem's vow be canceled? Hashem made an oath that Klal Yisrael abandoned Him, He would let them die in the desert. So what is this? Can Hashem's oath be canceled? So we've spoken here about the certain gemaras that are riddles. Some of them are the Sabi de Be'atuna, remember the juggler and the king, but there are some called the Rabba Bar Chana stories. They're all also kind of esoteric. And so one of those Rabba Bar Chana stories is that he was on Har Sinai. It's all metaphor and secrets and riddles. Mystical ideas. So he was walking on Har Sinai, Rabbi Bar Bachana, and he heard a voice, and Hashem said, "Alas, what can I do? I've made a neder. Who can annul my vow?" Hashem is asking someone to annul his vow. So the sages said to Rabbi Bar Bachana, "You should have said mutar lach. It's canceled. Your vow is canceled." In other words, what is this trying to say? That a Kadosh Baruch Hu made a vow that He would conduct the world with din. And if we're not worthy, right, we shouldn't survive. And He says, I'll cast them down when they sin. But Hashem wants His vow to be annulled. He wants to be able, in other words, we've spoken about this, the rachmanus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the only reason Hashem gives us midas hadin and demands from us is because He wants us to receive on our own. Remember this idea? He wants us to earn it. He doesn't want to do din for din's sake. That's not the point of it. Not to just punish because He's stronger. So to speak, that means annul my vow that I have to conduct the world with din. The point is not the din. The point is that you should earn it on yourself so I can give you the chesed. So sages said, you should annul Hashem's vow. We should annul Hashem's vow. So here is where we come to a point that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a new vow. So ultimately, it's very interesting. This is called Nidre. We're really saying, Hashem, your vow, batal, mevutal. It's over. You don't need to bring din on us for the sake of din. The whole point of it is that we should say, how can we do this to Hashem? We made a mistake. But you know why we made a mistake? Because we had a Yetzirah. And you know the Yetzirah is partially your fault. You just said it. You're going to heal us. So now the time is for healing. Your vow is over. It's over. It's done. You're a putter. So here we say the following. Ultimately, the survival and complete redemption of Israel is based upon Hataras Nadarim, annulment of a vow. A vow that had been uttered not by man, but by Hashem Himself. So that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes His vow, and Hashem annuls His vow in Hazinu. The time for din, for punishment, for demanding Klal Yisrael is over. Klal Yisrael have come to a point, we've survived, we are intact, we are Klal Yisrael. And we have returned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu after all the tzaris. If you just go online, it's so horrible not to be there. See what is going on in Eretz Yisrael during Elul and during Aseres Mei Tshuva. It's just every single night. You know, you look at the coastal, you see the people literally to the gates, up the steps. There's not an inch. There's, I don't know how many, 50,000 people every single night. This is, everyone is streaming back. This is Elul. This is Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Yom HaDin. It's not a happy, it's not Hanukkah. It's not party. It's Yom HaDin. And the Klal Yisrael are streaming, just, you know, streaming back. Chilonim are all over for the religious. Hashem is, you know, has guaranteed that there will be tshuva in our hearts and they'll want to return, and that he himself has said, Ad Khan, the time has come. And in the end, this is beyond, believe it or not, this is the thing, beyond tshuva. This song is a great consoling herald of the future, unconditional redemption of Klal Yisrael. Okay? Hashem set limits for the goyim, for our enemies, that they cannot exceed. And he paints the picture here that there'll be an end time. And then Moshe encourages them. He says, since that's going to be the final analysis, just one last pasuk we're going to focus on here. Pasuk Mem Zayin, 47. He says, look, let's start the one before 46. He says, V'yomar Lehem. This is after the song. Now Moshe speaks to them. He says, Simu levavchem, apply your heart to all the words that I testify against you today, with which you are to instruct your children, to do them, to preserve them. Kol divrei Torah zos, ki lo davar reku. It is not something empty. And the way the pasuk is written is, ki lo davar reku mikem. It is not something empty from you. Ki hu chayechem, it's your life. But the way that Chazal read this is, ki lo davar reku, it is not empty. If you feel that the Torah is empty, it's your problem. It's from you. You will determine if the Torah is empty or if it's meaningful. If it seems empty to you, it is because of your limitations, your lack of willpower, your lack of commitment. It's you. You have to put in the effort, and it will not be empty from you. And Adish Moshe tells them that it's all in your hands to make the most out of history. You'll get to the end. By either way, we will get to the end. One with Torah as our life and our light and our inspiration and all of that. One without awareness of it, with lack of commitment to it. Either way, through the bracha or through the klala, it's going to become evident, right, that there's only one Torah, one HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one Klal Yisrael. And Moshe's hoping, to saying to them, don't make, Torah is going to be with you and this is going to come to pass, but let it be something that you live with and that inspires you and that draws you forward and doesn't drag you along, you know, against your will. And then the end of the parsha is Moshe goes up to the mountain and HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes his life away. And the last thing I want to mention is that at the end Hashem mentions that the reason he can't go into Eretz Yisrael is the Mei Meriva. It's very important to understand this, and we've spoken about this in the past. The fact that Moshe did not hit the rock, did not speak to the rock, and hit the rock, my grandfather explains this, is a great praise and tribute to Moshe Rabbeinu. And it's even in the slichas, we say, Hashem, have rachmanis on us for Moshe, because he hit the rock. What is this? It's always considered you didn't make a kiddush Hashem. Remember, and just very, very briefly, I forgot to read you from this, very briefly, just very, very briefly, when at the end of the 40 years, when Bnei Yisrael were rebelling, Hashem said to Moshe, go take the stick. That was the stick from Bnei Korach that Hashem said, keep in the Kodesh Kedoshim. And when they start to rebel, take out that staff and show them. You see, this is the simon, os, like he told them. This is the os for when you're rebellious. Remember what happened, Bnei Korach? Remember? This is what you deserve. Take that stick and speak to the rock. And then the pasuk says there, remember this? You go look it up again. He says, and the water will... the rock will give its water, and then it says, Vishkisa, you will cause them to drink. That word, you will cause them to drink. The only two times in Torah that someone has to cause a rebellious person to drink is Sota and Egel. And you know what happens with both of them. In other words, Hashem was saying to Moshe, you're going to cause them to drink now in the 40th year, and you know what? All the guilty ones, all the ones rebelling against Hashem, all the ones with no Muna, they're going to all die. And only those few will go into Eretz Yisrael, the few perfect ones that survive. This was after 40 years. So what did Moshe do? You look in the pasuk, he said, no. This whole nation is going into Eretz Yisrael. And if you look in the pasuk, it says he hit the rock, v'teitzei meimav, his water came out, and it doesn't say a word. Moshe didn't cause him to drink. They all just says, v'teish ta'am, and they all drank. The water came out, and they drank. Moshe backed off. That's why Hashem said to him something that otherwise incomprehensible. says Yan, because lo haktisheni, you didn't sanctify me. What is that? What is that? Because what is that? Now we understand what that means. Had Moshe allowed this Hashem's will right here, that he would cause them to drink, and who knows how many thousands would die, which wouldn't, we don't know, that could lead to another uprising, another rebellion, right? Another protest. But Hashem was saying, it would have been a testimony to your trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that all my ways are just, if you would have allowed this next Chorban to take place. And you know what? It means you would have trusted me. And those people that have entered Eretz Yisrael, they would have been pure. And maybe all of the things, the terrible disasters that it, and the loss of the Batei Mikdash would have never happened, because the original people that went in would have been on a higher level. So when he said to Moshe, Yan lo hamantim bilaktisheni, you didn't trust me to allow that holocaust to ultimately, in the end of days, be seen as a Kiddush Hashem, right? In other words, that would have been a holocaust. But that would have been that Hashem, a Kiddush Hashem, that would have been to elevate Hashem, to trust in Hashem's ways, to know that this was also good. But you refused. You said, no, I'm not participating in this. That's why when Moshe tells Bnei Yisrael at the end of his life, in the beginning of Devarim, I hit the rock on your behalf, he says, he uses the word on your behalf, not biglalchem, because you anger me, but avurchem, on account of you, for your behalf. I did it for you. You know what Moshe really did? He traded places with Klal Yisrael. He said, Klal Yisrael is going into Eretz Yisrael, even if I'm going to die in the desert. They're going in. That's the ultimate Mesiras Nefesh of a leader. And that's why at Moshe's death, when he's achieved the highest madriga, Hashem says to him, you're dying here because you hit the rock. That's a praise. And in Slichas, we say to Hashem, Leman, on account of Moshe who hit the rock, have Rachmanis on us, like he had Rachmanis on us. Like he had Rachmanis on us, you have Rachmanis on us. That's the secret of the hitting of the rock. That's my grandfather's Ha'ara. I did. I told you in Parshas Nasan. All right, everyone. Have a wonderful Sukkot. And we're going to meet Amir Tashem the Thursday after Sukkot, okay? And don't forget, you all got the email about Parshas Noah? Check your emails.